the stand.
Thank you, sir. Good morning. I was just thinking during worship, there was a childhood book. I don't even remember the name, but there was a boy who had gone on a journey, and it had been a long one. He had traversed through the snow and the mountains, and he had a few friends with him, and he got to a point that he was at a breakdown where he's like, it's been really hard, and he's like, I'm tired, and he's like, it's been a really long road, and his friend looked over at him and he said, but look how far we've come. And if you look back on the whole book, this is really close towards the end of the book, and he's like, but look how far we've come. I was thinking how true that is for our church, for our families. I never cease to be amazed by the babies born in this church and the marriages that have happened in the last decade, and it's just, look how far we've come. Look what God has done. And that song, I think his name's Robin Mark or close to that, but he was an old worship leader, but one of the songs that he loved to sing was Look What the Lord Has Done. And this morning actually was kind of spurred on. And by the way, I heard Gabe that last week was a wonderful sermon, wonderful message from the Lord. There you are, back there. And so I wish I had been here, but people were blessed by it, and it was anointed. How grateful on Mother's Day I got to be in Pennsylvania. And one of the things that spurred this, and I'll probably talk a little bit about it later, was because it was Mother's Day, I was thinking how wonderfully blessed I have been because I've had three moms in my life. I had a mom that was with me till 16. When she passed, then God brought another mom into my life who has blessed our family abundantly. And then finally, God has blessed me with a third mom through Jenna's mom. And all of them have had an equal share of love from me. Can't imagine the loss of any of them, and how blessed I was on Mother's Day to sit back and say, God, I've been triply blessed in abundance. And so I was like, Lord, next week I'm preaching. I don't even know what Gabe's preaching on, and I'm like, I don't know if it'll have anything to do with that. A few of the messages I've done in the last couple of months have been a little more weighty and a little bit more heavy. This one, I think, is kind of going to be a little bit lighter for me, so that's good for me and maybe for you. But I asked the Lord, what do you want me to talk about? What is the message next week? And it just, maybe it was partially because how I was feeling, but it was just gratitude. And I was like, it is funny because it seems like a simple subject, but we usually talk about it, what, once a year? It's our primary, it's like Christmas. Talk about the gift of Christ on Christmas, Easter. How often do we hear about the resurrection and the crucifixion of our Savior? The whole reason you and I sit in here today, and we celebrate it once a year. And I was like, you know, gratitude's a really big thing, though we take one day out of the year and decide that that's the day that we're going to get our gratitude out. But last weekend was a wonderful weekend. My wife enjoys me talking about it because, for those of you who don't know, if you don't know by now, I am a major animal enthusiast when it comes to photography. And I got my year's worth last weekend, so we went in on Thursday and were there till Monday morning. And I got up at 6 every morning on vacation to go gallivanting through the countryside with my camera while everyone else was sleeping. Spent 2 hours out in the wilderness doing my thing, driving here and there and walking through the woods and scouring out the area and things that were on my list that some people will be like, okay, I see those. Many people in Pennsylvania were like, oh yeah, you saw that. And I'm like, I've never seen one of those. And I got to see a porcupine, and that was new for me, and I'd always wanted to photograph one. I had never actually seen a wild beaver before. We have them here, but apparently I can't find them. And my father-in-law, when I got there, he's like, I got something for you. Thursday night, he's like, we're going to take a drive about a mile down the road. Found a very active beaver dam, and I spent the next 2 hours with my father-in-law out there acting like a little boy running around, knee-high in the mud, getting wet, and having the best time of my life, scaring the beavers half to death. But it was great. Saw a black bear run across the road. Now, again, there was more and more of this. Saw bald eagles galore through the weekend. For some of you, that might be a big deal. Some of you are like, okay, wonderful. But every one of us in this room probably have a thing that brings us back to our childlike excitement, right? Something that you get out there and you're like, maybe for you it's hunting. You get out there and it's like, I'm like a kid again. I'm excited. You know, nothing brings me to this childlike excitement. And for me, last weekend, it was like one thing after another. And I come inside for coffee, wide awake. Jenna's still waking up and she's like, what'd you see today? And I'm like, well, can you look at this? And it was, I mean, she's like, this is my little boy-like excitement when I get a camera, when I get something out there that I've never seen. And I was walking with my dad, I believe it was Sunday evening. One of the ladies in the church had come over, and her family was all busy for that day, and so she came over and was visiting with my mother-in-law. And so they were doing that, so Jenna's like, I'm taking a nap. And so my father-in-law's like, hey, I know where an eagle nest is. You want to go with me? We took a long walk, and we went down this river walk, and I was sitting there. I was like, it's just been a really good weekend. So I just feel so full. It's been time with family. I've gotten to see all this wildlife. And he's like, Michael, he's like, I think God just delights in your delightment, and he wanted to bless you with this weekend. And I was like, you know, I really feel that he was blessing me so abundantly. Monday morning came, and I got up early for my last walk, I think it was Sunday evening one last time, and I went down that same walk, and I remember just for 2 hours just being out there, and just the gratitude of my heart was bubbling over in the realization that I was on vacation visiting my in-laws who are my parents. They are my mom and dad in my heart. And I was like, what you've done for me, Lord. And the reason I share all that is because when I thought of gratitude, I was like, wow, like it does something in you and for you. And I bring that up because when I was single and I have a job, most of you know that I get up about 3:30. I am not a morning person. So I picked a job that was the worst possible case for that. But I remember waking up in the morning and I'm like, I'm exhausted, and I grumble, I get out of bed, I'm like, I don't want to go, I don't want to do this. And every day I would do this. And finally one day, the Lord's just like, you have a really nice job and you're really blessed. And I was like, I really have. And so I bought this, and I had Jenna rush to get it because I forgot to grab it. So I put this right on my side table in my house, and it says, begin each morning with a grateful heart. And every time I get up and turn my lamp on, I'd look over at that and be like, oh yes, Lord, thank you. And sometimes I meant it, sometimes I grudgingly did it, but it really did begin to change my heart where I was reminded why I'm getting up. I'm getting up because I'm going to a job God provided me, a job that God's blessed me with. And just that whole weekend, I think that it summarized coming home, I was just so overwhelmed. And so I wrote down here, the gift of gratitude is a beautiful thing. I'm going to read a very short passage in Scripture. We're going to go to Luke 17 and just hold your place there. I swear when I get up here to preach, I forget where the Bible books are. I'm like, I know it at home backwards and forwards. I get up here and I'm like, I don't know what I'm turning to. Luke 17. And then real quick, it's interesting because something that was in my head that I remembered, I think it was 2021, 2022, it may have been a little earlier, but this came to me, I was preparing this, kind of seems far out of the way, but I was listening to the news, podcast actually, and there was a study, the Washington Smithsonian Black History Museum or institution had come out with a report. The report was extremely, it's a nasty report, and it was a very demeaning. And what they titled it was, I think the values of the white, pretty much. I think I may be wrong on the title, but the entire idea of this was, here is white American values. And it was a very, honestly, we hear this word all the time, but it was a very racist article saying that here is a list of what white values are in America. Now, if you actually listen to the list, it's actually a really wonderful list for most of it. There was the idea of self-motivation, determination, responsibility, hard work, delayed gratification, using time wisely, seeing that every moment counts. And it goes through this, but the idea is, well, these are white values, and that's a negative thing. What was really insulting about it was saying that there is no other culture in this country that has these values. And it was meant to be a rebuke against whites. Now, the only reason I bring that up is not because of the race aspect, but what I found interesting after reading it was what our culture really has done is taking the basic building blocks of a culture, the things that you strive as parents to raise your kids in, responsibility, honor, humility, honesty, hard work, determination, you know, all these kind of things, and you try to instill them in your kids, but you have a leadership and a culture that says, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's foolish, that's not important, and you deserve this, you deserve that, and you should do this, and you earned that, and this is required for you. And I was thinking how sad that is, because this was trying to say that the racist white people, this is their qualities, these are their values. And I said, well, actually, most of those, I hope that's a value for just people in general. And I was like, they said it was an American value. And I said, really, most of the things I just mentioned are biblical principles. And yet they're simple things. We know them. We've heard them. Everybody kind of wants them. But it is a lost art. In my workplace, our warehouse is filled with young people, a little bit younger than me. Some of them are my age. Almost every one of them are single. Every one of them never got a college degree, didn't get a high school diploma. That aside, they don't know what they're doing with their life. They don't know where they're going. They don't want to work an eight-hour workday. And I have heard my boss so many times say, we cannot find good workers. They're not willing to work hard. They're not responsible. They're not honest. Most of these people my age, they're single parents who they're having constant battles with their former girlfriend and boyfriend, and their lives are so messy. And his constant grief is, what happened to these ethics that were there? What happened to these things that brought value to a culture? And he's not a believer, so I wanted to say, well, it's because we've lost the principles of God. You read through Proverbs, you read through so many things, and God will speak through this. The Word of God will talk about these principles in everyday life. And one of the things that I think is really overlooked is gratitude. And if you look at it in culture, you'll probably find someone in your workplace that it doesn't matter how many paychecks they receive, no matter how well they prosper, they're not grateful for it. They don't understand. They don't have a heart of thanksgiving. I almost asked Jenna this week, I almost rolled over in bed and just said, am I a grateful person, honey? And I didn't do it because I'm kind of hesitant to find out what her answer is. Maybe I will, because I know she'll be honest, but I don't know if I want to hear it. Do I come off as a grateful person every day? And that was the question I was asking myself all week and really asking the Lord to make me a grateful person. Not one that, I've always thought of the fruit of the Spirit being one of those things. It's like you can get a list all you want and tell people that they need to live by this list, but it doesn't work that way, right? I could print it out right now, say, here's the fruit of the Spirit. Each of you need to live according. You're not going to be able to do it that way. The fruit of the Spirit is simply the overgrowth or the outgrowth of a relationship walked close with the Holy Spirit. That intimacy brings about that fruit. The intimacy with Christ brings a gratitude that I can't formulate. I don't get to Thanksgiving and say, all right, time to get my thankful heart on. It's not like that. And one of the simple things that I thought of all week was Luke 17. I just want to read it. There's a lot of directions you could go with this, but I want to point out just a few things. So verse 11, this is a wonderful story. In verse 11, it says, now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, were not all 10 men cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go, your faith has made you well. I like this story, and as I said, for today's message, I'm not going to read a ton into it and give all the paths it could go, but we're given here a group, I believe 10, right? Did I say 10? Yeah, 10 men who had leprosy. And obviously, if you've done a lot of research or read the Bible enough, you know that to have leprosy was to be an outcast. we live in a period where you can have leprosy and they have a lot of treatment for it, and really there's a lot of agencies and a lot of communities that are really loving towards leprosies. But that was not the case back then. You were a leper, you were an outcast, you had to announce that you were unclean everywhere you went. So not only did you have to suffer a debilitating illness every day of your life, the sores, the pain, probably the lack of sleep, but on top of it, you had no community except for those that also suffered like you. And really, when it comes to the lepers here, the only thing we know about them is that they all suffered from the same illness. It doesn't say their culture as much, doesn't say their background, it doesn't say everything about their former families. I'm assuming that they're no longer a part of their family. They have been outcast. But there is something that's mentioned that we know, that Jesus mentions. It says this man was what? It's a Samaritan. Imagine that. The man who is already in a culture where he is second value, second rate. His faith is not considered equal to Judaism. He is not part of the Moses and Abrahamic faith. And so he's already got points against him, and here he is a leper. And my imagine, I don't know if these particular, I'm not an expert in leprosy. I know some people can be near it and get it, and some people were born around it and with it. I don't know their history, except for my assumption is that for these 10 men or women, that they probably had very little in their life that they would sit around feeling gratitude for throughout their life. It would be very easy to feel that way, to say, I've really been given nothing, I am nothing, I'm expected to continue to be nothing. And here Jesus comes, as he often does, and cuts through Samaria, and they go to him. What I love about this is that these men have really nothing to lose, but also there is an extreme amount of faith here that says, we've heard about this man, Jesus, and they're crying out, Master, have mercy. What are they asking? Heal us. They didn't come near him. They stood from a distance and said, Master, have mercy, heal us, is what they're asking. And Jesus said, as according to the custom, go to the priest, show yourself. What he's saying is, as part of this custom, when you go, show yourself, they will declare you free and cleansed. As they were going, what happened? They found themselves free, found themselves cleansed. I can't imagine that. It'd be easy to read the story and say that sounds simple and, very clean, arranged story, but for these men and women, their lives have been turned around in one moment, and all of a sudden what was impossible has become a possibility. And I don't know what happened to the other nine. I don't know where they went. If I were them, I'd probably be running around yelling, hugging as many people as I could, just going to people that couldn't get near me. I might even run back to my family and rejoice. Yeah, well, that seemed kind of normal. But it says in the midst of this that one of them stopped and realizing that he was healed, ran back to Jesus. What's interesting is I don't even know if they got to the priest. It says that while they were on their way, they found out they were cleansed. But he knew from who his source it came from. And he ran back, and I just love it. It says that he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. He saw that he was healed. He came back doing what? Praising God. I just thought what a beautiful story it is for a man who recognized where his healing came from, was so overwhelmed. It would have been easy to say, well, he sent me on my way. I don't even know where he's at, but I'm just going to go about life. I'm going to start over. I'm going to find my family. But the first thing that he did was go back and find Jesus to thank him. And I loved it. I was like, that's so simple. And how beautiful that is. But I also wonder, how many times have I really been like the other nine? I think I do it daily. It is an overwhelming thing when you actually stop and you go through the list of things that God has done for you. There's a really annoying old song that we used to sing at my old church, but I had it in my head all week. It's called Count Your Blessings. It's not because of the words, I hate the tune. Count your blessings, name them one by one. And a little tambourine in there. No, please don't ever do this, Ray. It gets stuck in your head and it's very irritating. But I actually found myself really liking the words this week. It's count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. I was like, I can't. I can't compile a full list because it just keeps going. from different seasons of life to where I stand currently, I have been so utterly blessed. And I look at these 10, and really they're a representation of really where we've all been. At one point in our life, we were absolutely the outcast. We were absolutely lost, absolutely broken, absolutely in need of a Savior. And who came by as the one who cared about the broken and the lost? And he said, you are healed. You are saved. On top of it, he says, your faith has made you heal. You came here. If you hadn't come today, you wouldn't have found healing, but you came to me. And because of your faith, you've been healed. And it took all of us a moment in our life to step out in faith and say, I believe that Jesus is who he says he is, and he is the Savior. And in that moment, we became like that one man, and I hope that every one of us ran back. But is that the only time? It's a lifestyle. It changes everything. And I just love this story. I love this man's heart. The two things that I want to point out in here is that the one thing that this man did was that through his gratitude, it brought him back to Christ. And second, it caused him to glorify God. A heart of gratitude will always bring about that. If you struggle with worship, if you struggle with that kind of heart, it starts with gratitude. And ingratitude brings a glorifying and a worshiping of God. That's really what we do when we start the service, right? We get up here and we sing about 5 songs. What are we doing? We're glorifying, we're magnifying, we're appreciating, we're thanking God for what he's done. I just wrote a few things here, and I'm almost finished. Just 3 kind of points is, number one, God delights in our gratitude. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, worship God in all things, for this is what? The will of God. This is the desire. The will is the desire of God, that we are thankful in everything. Number two, I said gratitude's not based on the amount that you have, because the reality is I could go down these pews and I could ask you what your net worth is, but that is not the basis of where our gratitude comes from. Honestly, what I make, what Matt makes, or what Hope makes, or whoever has a job in here, whatever you make, your level of earnings is not where gratitude is based, but rather it's the value that you placed on what you have. Number three, gratitude increases trust, and it also increases generosity. You will never find, very often, I don't want to say never, but you will rarely find a greedy person, a fearful person who's generous, or one that trusts or has a large amount of faith. 2 Corinthians 9:11, I'm going to go there real quick. 2 Corinthians 9, and of course I'm known for writing down the wrong thing, but let's make sure I got this here. It says, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in what? Thanksgiving to God. I was thinking this week, there's 2 aspects of gratitude that I think, for me, I needed to learn and I want to learn and live by, is a gratitude from the heart and a gratitude from my lips. Because there's one thing, feeling gratitude to God and to someone else, but there's a different thing when it comes from your lips. And I think that's probably the hardest part. I think most of us understand what it means to feel grateful, but how often are we inclined to share our gratitude? There's something powerful in it. There's something beautiful about it in that declaration of gratitude, whether it be between you and me or us to God. Also, when we read the Old Testament, we read about the Israelites, and of course we always beat up on them, but what were they known for? Grumbling. Seems like every chapter says, and then they grumbled before God. They grumbled before God. But I think we could easily say, okay, what about modern day Mary? We grumbled before God. We grumbled before God. I don't want to be known as a grumbler, and I have at times. Jenna knows, and sometimes I even feel guilty. I'll come home from work, and I will name off the list of things I am absolutely frustrated with, and I'll grumble about this and that and this. And some days I'll just stop and look at her because she'll have that smile on her face that's like, I'm listening. And I just feel so guilty because I'm like, so much to be grateful for, and all I can think about is the things that I'm frustrated with. I don't want to be known as a grumbler, and it's really easy to do in today's world. And this morning, I was singing to Jenna the song of Madame Blueberry. Anybody know when I say that, what I'm saying? Anybody with me there? VeggieTales? All right. I'm sorry, the prangers didn't raise your kids right. If you didn't induct them in the VeggieTales? Okay. If anybody knows that episode that I haven't seen probably in 12 years, but the amazing thing of kids' songs is that they never leave you. Jenna, I should ask you to come up here and sing for us, but no, she won't. Okay. I think the key song in that is called Stuff Mart, where they come into her home and she's like, I'm very unhappy. I don't know what I need. I don't know what I want. And so the song sings about all that she could have, and it's called Stuff Mart. Mart Stuff, Stuff Mart, that's kind of the key song. And at the very end, Madame Blueberry has bought more things than she knows what to do with and has had shopping carts sent to her house, and her house is so overwhelmed with stuff that it falls apart. And as she's realizing her home was just destroyed, she stumbles upon a little girl and her parents, who are obviously kind of poor, and they're sitting at a picnic table eating one little piece of pie. And she's listening in on their little conversation, and this little girl is sitting down looking at her piece of pie, and she starts singing, I should just ask everyone to sing. Everyone know the song? Anybody know it? I thank God for this day, for the sun and the sky, for my mom and my dad and my piece of apple pie, for the love that we share, because he listens to my prayer. That's why I say thanks every day. Losing man points? All right. Lost those years ago. But it's funny because I loved that as a kid, but looking back now, as simple as that is, and as much as we love that as kids, it was so simple, and she stopped and she said, I want what the little girl with the pie has, and there was a little boy in the store who wanted a bouncy ball, and the dad said, not today, and he said, you know, you're right, Dad, it's okay, I don't need that, and he's like, I've got so much. And she's like, I want what the little boy with the ball had. I want what the little girl with the pie had. And she's like, a happy heart. And she was saying, I want a grateful heart for the simple things that I have. It was really sweet, sweet VeggieTales that obviously stuck with me. I even know the tune. But I just think about how in everyday life, this is a practical thing that is so easy to live a life contrary to what we do every day. To thank the Lord for what we have been given. In Lamentations 3, 22 through 23, it says that God's mercies are new every day. It's not one of those one-time mercy, that every day as we wake up, his new mercies, his goodness, his faithfulness is new every morning. And it's refreshed. And he doesn't hold yesterday against us, but it is new. And his gifts are new. And his gifts are continual. And I'll tell you what, when you really do stop, I don't know if you've ever really done that, when you've stopped and just been so overwhelmed that you can't continue, when you realize how blessed we have it. And I realize there are people out there that would say, well, you know what, Michael, I don't have as much as you, or I don't have as much as the person next to me. Well, that leper probably really didn't have anything. And yet in that moment, his world was turned upside down by the grace and mercy of Jesus. Last two things. One of the things I've learned about me is when I go to bed worried about tomorrow, because as you guys know, I've confessed this many times that I'm a worrier, and I think about tomorrow, I'm a planner. I find a lot of anxiety in that, and I get restless, I don't sleep, and it's really not a good tone for the next day. One of the things that in the last few weeks that I've really tried to do is, instead of worrying, instead of planning, instead of thinking, when I go to bed, I lay there on my pillow, and I start thanking the Lord for the things he's done, and I'm out like a light. It is so easy. I feel so much peace. And what I have found is that gratitude and thanksgiving is the bearers of joy and the bearers of peace in ways that nothing else I've ever learned has been. Actually, I just wanted to read just a few quotes, and then I'm going to close here for us. A few quotes that I was reading. Not all of them are attributed to someone who says, in ordinary life, we hardly realize that we receive a great deal more than we give. And that is only with gratitude that life becomes rich. When you arise in the morning, give thanks for the food and for the joy of living. If you see no reason for giving thanks, the fault lies only with you. When you arise in the morning, think of what a precious privilege it is to be alive. To breathe, to think, to enjoy, to love, then make that day count. Joy is the simplest form of gratitude. It is not joy that makes us grateful. It is gratitude that makes us joyful. So in closing, one of the things I thought about this morning when I woke up actually was one of the things that one of the pastors in my life at the church that I youth pastored this last year before we got married. He used to say, he loved the quote, and I know it's out there, but he used this, and this I always think of him. He says, an attitude of gratitude. And he said, don't wait till I'm gone to give me flowers at my gravesite. He's like, don't wait till I'm gone to tell me you love me. He said, don't wait till I'm gone to be grateful for me. And he said, he has made it his life goal to show people how much he's grateful for what they've done and who they are before they're gone. And one of the blessings that God has given to me that I really learned from was I got to be at the bedside near the death of three of my grandparents out of the four. And every time I was very intentional that God gave me the opportunity to tell them how thankful I was for what they had done in my life, for raising my parents well, for investing in me and loving me. And for some of them, it was only a day before they passed. And I'm so glad I got the chance to say thank you. For my grandma, it was in the house I currently live, only about 2 days before she passed. For my grandpa, it was sitting in the hospital 2 days before he passed, in the evening, in the middle of the night. And for my grandma, it was driving all the way to Missouri and having the opportunity a week before she passed to say thank you. And when my mom passed the day before, when I went in to read to her, I had a chance to say thank you for the investment she had given to me. And I'm grateful for that now, but I don't get to tell them that again. I don't get that opportunity to remind them how much they meant to me and how much they invested in me. But God gave me a chance to say it. And so I think this just hopefully leads us to stop for a moment and to realize that we've been given a great deal more than we realize, and to not make light of it, to not forget it, but hopefully help us in our daily troubles that we have so much more than what we lose. And the blessings are greater than the pains. So I just want to close this morning. I asked the worship team to come up. I want to close with a song. You're welcome to sing along. But just an opportunity. I want to give you just a few minutes during the song. Just whatever that looks like to you, whatever you feel today, maybe this doesn't apply to you because you're the most grateful person in here, and that's just the design of your heart and the daily outcry. But just a moment for you to bow your head. You can come to the altar, you can stand, whatever you want to do, but just take this time to thank the Lord, just as we do when we have communion. It's so often rushed. Thank Him for what He's done, and I would ask you to also do something that I've been praying all week. Lord, who can I reach out to thank, to be grateful for, to show how much they've done for me? How can I praise you more? Ultimately, all the gratitude for people hopefully ends with gratitude and glorifying of God. So take a few moments and let the Lord speak to you. Let it flood you. I hope that you feel, as I did last week, so overwhelmed. The tears run down my eye, and it's like, God, there's nothing in my life that I have to complain about. You have been good to me. So just take a few moments and do that.